And now we have a story about what happens when a presidential administration changes and priorities change with it. Earlier this month, dozens of farm workers in California's Central Valley got very sick with nausea and vomiting. Their illness was tracked to a pesticide called chlorpyrifos. This pesticide has been under review by scientists for many years, and back in 2015, the Environmental Protection Agency decided to ban it. But before the ban could take effect in April, the new head of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, reversed the ban. He said thousands of American farms rely on chlorpyrifos. Dana Boyd-Barr is a professor at the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University. She's been studying this pesticide for years. She was a member of an EPA-appointed scientific advisory panel that recommended the ban. She didn't take part in the decision because the panel was considering her research. Dana, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What is chlorpyrifos? What is it used for?
It's an organophosphate pesticide, and organophosphate pesticides have a similar mechanism of action in the body as nerve agents. So sometimes they're called junior strength nerve agents. But it's a very effective insecticide that's used in agriculture across the U.S. and other places as well.
So this is primarily used on farms?
Yes, it used to be used residentially, but back in the early 2000s, its uses in the home were banned.
All right, so you say nerve agent, and justifiably or not, I get very nervous. What did your research find out about chlorpyrifos?
Well, my research and a lot of other research that complemented it found out that people who were exposed to chlorpyrifos during pregnancy actually had neurocognitive delays, earlier onset of ADHD, and decreases in their IQs.
So that seems like a fairly good reason for recommending a ban. How did you feel when the new head of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, reversed it?
I was dumbfounded. I've been studying this insecticide for about 30 years, and right now there are over 30 peer-reviewed scientific publications that implicate it in neurological deficits in children.
I want to give the other point of view a little bit of a chance here. So let me ask you, if we've been using this pesticide for many decades, isn't that evidence that it's fine, it's okay?
Well, I mean, we have a higher incidence of ADHD today. On an individual level, it's probably not that impactful. It might decrease your IQ several points, which wouldn't be noticeable for an individual. But when you look at it on a population level, you see a shift of the IQ such that more people are considered special needs people. Fewer people are considered in that high IQ range. And so that population shift is what's really important to consider here.
And I would imagine you're not saying that chlorpyrifos is responsible for all of that.
No, absolutely not. I think that it is documented that exposure to this does contribute to that.
Mr. Pruitt, the new head of the EPA, has said, look, thousands of American farms rely on this pesticide. What do you think about that argument?
I think that's true, but there are other pesticides out there that are just as effective that can be used. This is just one that's been proven effective over the years. I am concerned about the farm workers' children as well, people that participate in farm work with their parents, that they may have neurocognitive delays or may have some kind of adverse health outcome that's associated with these exposures during early childhood as well.
So what happens next? Is the ban officially dead?
I hope not. I mean, I hope that we can continue to provide evidence that it is indeed a harmful insecticide and that eventually whoever is in charge of the EPA will take the recommendation that the EPA has given and the recommendation of scientists who've been studying this pesticide for years.
Dana Boyd-Barr is a professor at the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University. Dana, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.